Hi, it's Pete Norstead here, and welcome to another Trade on Sports and Focused on Football Betting podcast. We've got some unusual circumstances today, and as usual, I'm joined by Jimmy Kempton. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Good morning, Peter, or should I say good evening where I am?
Yeah, if you let the listeners know, well, you've got something, you're attending a little event this weekend, aren't you?
Certainly am, Peter. I'm off to the Super Bowl, so I'm here in Las Vegas. It's 11 o'clock Wednesday night. I believe you're just getting up for work on Thursday morning.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm. It's Thursday morning here. I've been in hospital. I've had my gallbladder out. I'm sort of recuperating a little bit. But yes, it's all very good, really. But yes,
I'm very excited, Peter. I've never seen Las Vegas so busy on a Wednesday as it has been today. It's getting a bit crazy. Is your private jet spot booked? Because I heard they've sold out, Pete. So you have to find another way to get here.
Yes, I was surprised as well when I looked at the temperature. It's not that warm out there, is it?
You're not wrong, mate. I was bloody freezing today walking around in just a jacket. You've been out here on those cold days. It starts off very cold in the morning, then there is a bit of heat in the sun, but as soon as the sun goes down, the temperature drops.
It feels the desert conditions, isn't it? In the summer though, we would, of course, the Air Force, when they fly there, they go in the middle of the summer, you know, so it's bloody sweltering, you know.
I can imagine you and your budgie smugglers around the pool, Pete.
But I could, you know, like I say, you're only a few minutes away from the stadium. It's going to be fantastic, isn't it?
I can't believe I can lead and walk there. That'll save me a fortune in travel and parking. It's rare in this day and age you can that these new stadiums where you can actually walk to them.
Yeah, and you might be able to go to some boxing tonight as well, tomorrow night.
Yeah, there's a big fight on at the Mandalay Bay, so I'm going to try and barter and get a ticket. Oh, it's all happening here, Pete, in the City.
Right, anyway, before all this excitement, we've got some Premier League action to go through, and we start on, I don't know whether you'll be watching any of this, I would doubt some of it.
Well, especially this first game, it kicks off at bleeding 4:30 a.m, mate. I won't be getting up for that.
Right, Manchester City, Everton. Recent head-to-head, City have won 4. There's been 4 draws. Everton not 1. -2 the handicap here. We're -2. City's record's obviously good. 1-8, drawn 2, lost 0. Come off a 3-1 victory away at Brentford. Good win that is for City. 5 of the 8 victories, Man City won by 3 or more goals. Everton, when they're +2 goals, 1-0, draw 0, lost 3. Lost all 3. Only 1 of the 3 were by 2 or more goals. Come off a 2-all draw at home to Spurs. Everton have drawn their last 3, -2 goals, 99 home, 35 home, 20 push, 43 away. Small value Manchester City, my rating suggesting.
I was surprised there when you just outlined those stats, Pete. Both of these teams, well, Man City do very well in this spot by the sounds, but Everton don't do very well at all. I can imagine Sean Dyche should be saying all the right things ahead of time about preparing his side for this trip. But they've got bigger fish to fry than running through brick walls in this game and not getting anything from it. I mean, that might sound a little bit of a simplistic sort of viewpoint here, but this is another one of those games where City might just get a couple of goals up and then just hit cruise control. I think the game's priced pretty correctly, Pete, to be honest. I don't really want to make a bet in this game. For the purposes of the podcast, I need to. So I think I'm just going to lean towards the over 3.25 goals here, Pete. But actually, on the match line, I think it's priced pretty bang on, to be honest.
Next up, we've got Fulham-Bournemouth. Recent head-to-heads, Fulham haven't won. There's been 1 draw, Bournemouth 1. The line's -0.25. They can back Fulham at 1.79 off scratch. I'll go off the stats -0.25. Fulham, when they're -0.25, 1-4, drawn 3, lost 3, come off a 2-all draw away at Burnley. Bournemouth, when they're +0.25 goal, good record away from home. 1-5, drawn 2, lost 3, come off a 1-0 draw at home to Forest. -0.25 goals, 590, 2-4-4 home, 1-7-6 half loss, 1-7-9 loss. So that makes 2-4-4, play 2-5-7. Good value Fulham. I'm going to buy the quarter of a goal and back Fulham at off scratch here.
I thought you might, Pete. I mean, we took Bournemouth on last weekend at home to Forest, and for that particular game, we cited the rest differential between the two sides as one of the main reasons to oppose the Cherries. Now, there's no sort of rest differential here, so I'm slightly surprised to see this line move and the prices move in Bournemouth's favour. Fulham are a pretty well-established Premier League side, in my opinion, now. And in these sorts of spots, this is where, you know, normally on the minus a quarter, the, you know, the risk reward on the home win is reasonable. Now the line's trended towards scratch, although, you know, the prevailing market line's still minus a quarter, but it is very close now. I think you buying that quarter of a goal, Pete, and taking Fulham off scratch, you know, is the way to go here if you want to side with Fulham. But I just think these sorts of games, we see them so often that the draw outright's where the value is for me here when you're looking at prices of 3.5 and above for this game to end all square in a match that, you know, we're reasonably sure is going to be a tight game. I think the draw outright's the side I want to be on here, Pete.
Liverpool Burnley next, minus 2.25 here. Recent head-to-heads, Liverpool haven't had it all their own way. They've won three, it's been two draws, Burnley have won one. Liverpool, when they're minus 2.25, brilliant record. Won all nine of the matches, four of the nine, they won by three or more goals. Can offer 3-1 defeat away at Arsenal. Burnley, poor record when they're plus 2.25. They've lost all three, but only one of the three matches they lost by three or more goals, coming off a 2-2 draw away at Fulham. Burnley now not 1-5, minus 2.25 goals, 34 matches, 14 home, 9 half loss, 11 loss. So that makes 14 plays, 16.5. Very small value, Burnley, my rating suggesting, but it is the smallest of value.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine at minus two, your ratings and that would say there'd be really good value back in Liverpool here. I mean, I think you'd think that Vincent Kompany, as a first-year Premier League manager, will be less inclined to, you know, in air quotes, throw this game and, you know, and look for games further down the line, because it's rare that a first-year Premier League manager will just cast a game away. He wants to try and make a name for himself with a famous result at Anfield in this game, whether that be securing a point or maybe trying to snatch a win. So I don't really see Burnley throwing the towel in here very early on in the game. I'll be siding with the overs here, Pete. Liverpool are sure to want to bounce back after that, I won't say poor loss at Arsenal, because I don't think any team that loses at Arsenal these days can call it a poor loss. But I think it's a disappointing result. So Liverpool are sure to fire out the traps at Burnley. But I don't really have them have much confidence in them keeping a clean sheet here. So, yeah, I'm going to take a bit of the over 3.5 goals here, Pete, because this Liverpool side does seem to have found its scoring boots, but I can't always trust them to keep a clean sheet. And Virgil van Dijk's throwing the odd clanger now and again. So, yeah, give me the overs.
Luton Sheffield United next. Minus 3/4 the handicap here. Luton haven't been minus 3/4 since they've entered the Premier League. They're coming off a, 4-4 draw away at Newcastle. You know, and Luton are starting to put the ball in the net as well. Sheffield United, when they're plus 3/4, 1-1 draw, 1 loss, 5. 3 of the 5 defeats by 2 or more goals. Come off a very poor 5-0 defeat at home to Villa. Sheffield United, they've conceded at least 2 in their last 5 matches. Minus 3/4 the goal, 236 games, 78 home, 62 half win, 96 loss. So that plays 109, plays 96. Small value Luton, my ratings are suggesting, you know, they're putting the ball in the net and Sheffield United are conceding.
Well, you're very right in that stat there, Peter. I'm shocked at this line. I'm shocked that Luton can be minus 3/4 of a goal against anybody. I'm shocked that your ratings are suggesting there's value with Luton here, Pete, to be honest. I genuinely thought you'd be saying back Sheffield United here.
Yeah, I've got small, very small value though.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a preview that's going up on Focused on Football for this game. And this is a real sort of tug of war for me here. I mean, both of these teams came up during last summer, but they seem on totally differing trajectories. And as you alluded to, Luton score goals, Sheffield United concede goals. It's not really a good recipe for Chris Wilder's men to get a result here. But the killer stat for me, Pete, is newly promoted sides who also finish in the bottom six see 46% of games end in home wins against similar opposition. That equates to a true price of 2.46, Pete. I have to take Sheffield United here, plus 3/4 of a goal. The size of your stake will probably be determined by about how brave you feel or how stupid you feel, because who really wants to sort of place a wager on Sheffield United at the moment? Have they thrown the towel in? Who knows? But I think this is a very different spot for Luton. We keep backing them in situations where they're the underdog and they can fight and scrap. But players and supporters aren't stupid. Say you get 25 minutes into the game and Luton haven't scored. How's that home crowd? I mean, the home crowd are going to stay with them. But the pressure and the expectancy on Luton to go out and be on the front foot in this game is completely different to the expectations on them when they play those bigger sides and when they travel to Newcastle. It's a totally different spot. So, yeah, Sheffield United plus 3/4 for me here, folks.
Spurs, Brighton next. Spurs have had dominated this fixture at home in recent years. They've won 5, Brighton have won 1. -3/4 the handicap here. Spurs were -3/4, 1-6, draw, 0, lost 4. 4 of the 6 fixtures were 2 or more goals, come for 2-all draw away at Everton. Brighton won their +3/4, 1-3, drawn 3, lost 4. 3 of the 4 defeats by 2 or more goals, coming off a very good 4-1 victory at home to Palace. -3/4, 236, 78 home, 62 half, 92 losses. So that makes... I'm just waffling a bit here. That makes 109 play 96. Very small value Spurs. Like I say, Spurs have scored at least 2 in their last 8. So that they're putting the ball in the net, but you don't know what's coming back here. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, as we learned recently when Brighton travelled to Wolves, it's dangerous to say that I don't see any way in which this game is low scoring. But I don't see any way in which this game's low scoring, Pete. I think this is going to be a really open and exciting game. I've got a preview up on focusedonfootball.co.uk for this game. The interesting thing for me here is the match line open -0.5. It's trended to -3/4. Is that because people have fallen out of love with Brighton because their recent results haven't been great? Or is it because everybody is jumping on Spurs' bandwagon and they're seeing all the goals they score at home? They're quite formidable now. It should be open, chaotic and great to watch this game. I like the over 3.5 goals, Pete.
Next up, we've got Wolves against Brentford. Recent head-to-heads, Wolves are 1-1, Brentford are 1-1, -0.25 goal here. Wolves win their -0.25 goal, very mixed. 1-4, drawn 2, lost 4, coming off an excellent 4-2 victory away at Chelsea. Brentford, when they're +0.25 away from home, 1-1, drawn 1, lost 3, coming off a 3-1 defeat at home to Man City. 3 or more goals have been seen in 6 of Wolves' last 7 matches, so there's goals here. -0.25, 590 matches, 2-4-4 home, 176 half loss, 169 loss. So that makes 2-4-4 play 2-5-7. My rating is suggesting value, Brentford. No, I'm a little bit surprised at that, to be honest.
Me too. Did you see any of the game on Monday?
I thought Brentford played reasonably well, but City were, they're just clinical.
Yeah, I mean, I expected, as I said on the podcast, Brentford to put a bit of a shift in. I mean, I expect this game again to be an entertaining game. We've seen the ferocity with which Ivan Toney's come back into the fray following his betting suspension. But this Wolves side are spunky. They're underrated. Although I do think that victory last time out at Chelsea will make people sit up and take notice. I mean, that said, Chelsea are pretty pants, Peter. There should be goals in this game, though. I expect, yes, on both teams to score to cash. So I have to lean here towards the over 2.75 goals. Wouldn't surprise me if this is an entertaining goal-scoring draw. 1-1, 2-2 maybe. But I think it'll be a good game to watch, this one.
Next up, we've got Nottingham Forest against Newcastle. And the line has changed here. I've done my ratings off plus a half a goal. What I'll do, I'll go through the stats plus half a goal. Forest against Newcastle plus half a goal. Newcastle won the game last season. When plus half a goal, Forest record reads 1-2, drawn, 1-loss, 0, comfortable, 1-0 draw away at Bournemouth. Newcastle, when they're minus half a goal, 1-3, drawn, 2-loss, 1, come up a 4-0 draw away at Luton. Newcastle scored at least 2 goals in their last 4 matches, so they're starting to put the ball in the net again. Plus half a goal, 1-4-7, 75, plays 72. My rating suggesting value Newcastle. I'm going to have a look again while you're going to be looking at this game. But so I think that this could be a good bet, Newcastle.
Is it minus a quarter, Pete? Though?
Yes. Plus a quarter.
Plus a quarter, yeah. Were Forrester's underdogs, I take it?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the value was really with the home team at the half a goal line, but now it's trended down to minus a quarter. There's no value at all. And in some ways, I think there's probably, like you say, quite a bit of value with Newcastle now, minus a quarter, because I'm not really sure what to make of the Geordies. They spanked Villa on the road, and then they follow it up with a 4-4 home draw with Luton. But as you quite rightly say, Pete, they're scoring goals. And the other big thing that we probably don't factor in too much, because these sides didn't play too long ago, and Eddie Howe's side have got revenge on the mind. Forest humiliated Newcastle at St James's. I think it was about Christmas time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that football players, when they play again a short space of time afterwards, really have these things on their mind. So, yeah, I think a bit of revenge here for Newcastle. So on the minus quarter of a goal line, I think they're not the worst value.
I think it's definitely a reasonable bet now that line shifted. I'm very surprised to see that line has shifted as well.
And they're scoring goals. I don't really see a way in which Newcastle don't find a way to score in this match. Whereas, can Forest score 2? I don't know. Yeah, value with Newcastle for sure.
West Ham, Arsenal next. Recent head-to-heads, fairly mixed really. West Ham 1-1, there's been 4 draws. Arsenal 1-3. Plus 1 goal, the handicap here. When plus 1 goal, West Ham's record reads 1-2, drawn 2, lost 6. 4 of the 6 defeats will buy 2 or more goals, coming off a fairly poor 3-0 defeat away at Manchester United. Arsenal, when they're plus 1 goals, 1-6 drawn, 1 lost 3. 2 of the 6 victories will buy 2 or more goals, come off a 3-1 victory away at Liverpool. Arsenal, they've won their last 3. They're now sort of back in the title race. Plus 1 goal, 192 matches, 64 home, 56 push, 72 away. Good value, West Ham are rating suggesting. I remember this game last year and the ratings were suggesting again, West Ham good value. They went 2-0 down in the first 5 minutes and they came back to win, to draw 2-2. You know, West Ham fans were leaving the stadium after 10 minutes, I understood.
A little chuckle there from you. Is it still plus one this line?
Yes, it is, yeah.
I mean, what did you think to a camera gate last Sunday afternoon, Pete?
It's just nothing really. I've got no real opinion on it. I think the players are just celebrating. They've got every right to celebrate, you know, haven't they? It's a good win.
I think it was a little bit blown out of all proportion, really.
Yeah,
had a really good win. Obviously, got a good relationship with the cameraman. You know, is it ideal that you celebrate so much in sort of February time with one-off wins? I don't know. I don't really think it's a big thing. One thing I would say, though, is that I can't believe I'm going to agree with Richard Keys here about Mikel Arteta's celebrations. And I know Keys has seemed to have got it in for Arteta, but he did make a valid point that when Arteta used to sit on the Manchester City bench, he used to look frozen in time. And now all of a sudden, his manager, he's doing laps of the stand every time they score a goal. It just seems a little bit strange. Anyway, last time out, West Ham comfortably beaten 3-0 at Old Trafford. And I thought that was a really disappointing result. Did it surprise me? Probably not, because that historically, that's what David Moyes' sides have done when they've gone away to top 6 sides or the better sides in the league. They've been easily beaten. But it did come a little bit out of the blue. So that does worry me slightly here. But I do think all the value is with West Ham plus 1 goal. I've got to take it. They're a solid outfit. at home against the good sides, and especially in London derbies, we all know this crowd gets up for it. It's the early kickoff on Sunday afternoon, so it can be a little bit of a slow burner of a game, these 2 o'clock kickoffs. With that full goal handicap, I really like West Ham here, Pete. I've got to take them plus one goal.
Villa, Man United next. Recent head-to-heads, Villa have won one. There's been one draw. United have won three. Minus a quarter of a goal. I was a little bit surprised as well at this handicap. Anyway, when minus a quarter of a goal, Villa's record's good. 1-8, draw 0, lost 2, come for an excellent 5-0 victory away at Sheffield United. Manchester United, when they're plus a quarter, poor record. Well, not a great record. 1-2, drawn 2, lost 6, come off a 3-0 victory at home to West Ham. Three or more goals have been seen in Manchester United's last five. Minus a quarter, 590 matches, 244 home, 176 half loss, 169 loss, 244 plays, 257. Very small value, Aston Villa. I was again surprised at that.
When you said you were surprised at the line, what did you think it should be?
Maybe scratch. That's what I had in my head.
So, just go back through those Man United stats, plus a quarter of a goal again.
Yeah, 1-2, drawn 2, lost 6. Not great. And then Villa, minus a quarter, 1-8, drawn 0, lost 2.
It's not, but when you think about it, what the sort of calibre of sides would you see Man United quarter of a goal underdogs away at? You're probably looking at the likes historically of Chelsea, Spurs, maybe not even Spurs. They're obviously clearly playing very good sides. So is it surprising that they lose 60% of those games? I don't know. I mean, I'd almost counted Villa out as a top four contender, and then they bounced back last weekend and batter Sheffield United. United did have that excellent 3-0 win over West Ham, but they're still classed as underdogs for this game. But is it really surprising when Villa have beaten City and Arsenal on home soil already this season, and they've got probably the best home record in the league? And from an eyeball perspective, United look to play at a slower and a more controlled pace than Villa. And that deliberate type of play, I don't think will help them here. I see Villa has been far more dangerous on the transition than United. A big lean to Villa here for me, Pete. Now, I can't take them here because I do think that they're out of the title race. They won't sustain a challenge up there with City and Liverpool. Who knows if they're going to fall back? And this is just the sort of game I can see Man United winning outright, to be honest. But from a purely trends and what I've seen this season perspective, it'll be the home side I'm leaning to here.
Right. Let's look at the last game. Crystal Palace against Chelsea.
We have to, Pete.
God, recent Etihad, Chelsea have been dominant in this. They won 7 of the last 8. I was really, again, but this is what Crystal Palace are like. Plus half a goal, though, the handicap here. When plus half a goal, Palace's record will be 1-2, drawn 3, lost 4, coming off a 4-1 defeat away at Brighton. Chelsea, when they're minus half a goal, 1-4, drawn 3, lost 3, coming off a 4-2 defeat at home to Wolves. Three or more goals have been seen in Palace's last 5. Plus half a goal, 1-4-7, 75 home, 72 away. My ratings, I'm saying this, good value Crystal Palace, and I'm going to be going with it.
Well, it doesn't surprise me in a way, although I was waiting for you to say these are the games that Palace usually lose by one goal.
They do. They do, don't they? Yeah.
But then that's normally when they're priced as one goal underdogs. And this probably shows you just how little faith the betting markets have in this Chelsea side. But that said, I've not really got much faith in this Palace side either. Now, we saw last weekend when Brighton hosted Palace, a big move in the markets towards Palace, or was it against, in favour of Palace before the game, or was it against Brighton? The line moved to basically half a goal from a full goal, and Palace got absolutely spanked. I don't want any of you out there, well, even you, Pete, to be caught by trusting either of these two fraudulent sides this weekend. I don't know who either of these two teams are. I look at face value and I think, oh, Palace should be taking Palace here in this spot, a London derby against a team and a side they don't like. and an untrustworthy side in Chelsea. But Chelsea is so untrustworthy here, you probably can't even rely on them not to win the game. They'll probably end up winning this game 3-0. So, yeah, I'm leaving this game well alone. This is the one game out of the 10 this weekend. If you were trying to make a bet, a cash bet, I'll be saying no, give over. And for the purposes of the podcast, I'll take a little bit of the under 2.5 goals, Pete.
Right. Let's have a look at this then. I'm going to go with 4 bets here. Right. I'm going to go Fulham off scratch at home to Bournemouth. Then I'm going to go Newcastle -0.25 away at Nottingham Forest. West Ham +1 goal at home to Arsenal, and Crystal Palace +0.5 a goal at home to Chelsea.
Well, I'm going to have 2 bets this weekend, people. Both for 2 points. I'm going to take West Ham plus a full goal at home to Arsenal, and I'm taking the over 3.5 goals in Spurs against Brighton.
Now, just a quick one before we go. You know, these sports books in these casinos, do they do much business?
What, on Premier League?
Yeah.
Well, I'm here on... I've been round today and there's not a single price up on the Premier League anywhere on the screens. I'm looking on the parlay cards and all of those sorts of things. Nobody seems to have any prices up. What I would say is I'm staying in Excalibur, which is an MGM property. And they've got so many reps out trying to get people to download the BetMGM Sportsbook app. And get everybody to bet mobile because that's legal now here in Vegas. For many years, it was, not legal. The NFL have got a tie up now and everything. I mean, it was only about 7 or 8 years ago when Tony Romo, the former Dallas Cowboys quarterback and now CBS broadcaster, was threatened with a ban because he was going to come and say hello to a few people at a fantasy football convention in Vegas. It's turned full circle, Pete, and I can't believe the amount of old men that I've seen in the last few days being tried to show how to download a betting app. It's quite funny, really, mate. But yeah, they do quite a lot of business. I'm going to see one tomorrow, a Circus sports book. I've not been there yet in any of my trips here. If you look that up, it looks truly incredible, the Circus sports book in downtown. There's plenty of people here, mate. Like I say, it's going to be the biggest bet Super Bowl in history.
I'm looking at I do ratings on the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know anything about it. The only thing I do know is that Taylor Swift's boyfriend's in Kansas City. I know that. I think it's going to be looking at the ratings, very close game. I couldn't call it.
Well, I'm going to go with the unders. I think it's 47.5, the point line. San Francisco are going to try and run the ball a lot.
I agree with you.
Is that what your rating suggests?
Yeah.
And if I was forced to make a bet, which clearly I'm not, I'm never forced to make a bet. It's a very tight game. So I'd probably just take the underdog, which is the Chiefs plus 2 points, I think, at the moment. It's the current prevailing line. But yeah, my main bet for the weekend would be the under 47.5.
And so what are your plans after the Super Bowl? How long are you spending over there then?
I fly back overnight on Wednesday, so I should be refreshed and ready to go with the podcast Thursday night before your UK brilliant time.
Right then, well, have a good time, Jimmy, and I hope it lives up to expectation. I'm sure it will.
I'm sure it will, Pete. I can't wait. It's absolutely crazy out here.
Yeah.
It's the craziest I've ever seen Vegas, and I've seen it crazy before.
Yes. So we shall speak again next week, and good luck, everybody, over the weekend.
Best of luck, everybody.